You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Ross Brierley, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We've got jumping at Chepstow and Musselburgh, accompanied by racing on the flat at Nottingham in the afternoon, and evening action as well on the all-weather poly track under the floodlights at Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
It's been a long, long time since I've done a podcast with you, Quinny.
I know, ages. Ages and ages.
What have you been all my life?
I've been doing a little bit of work on William Hill TV, the new betting TV.
Yeah.
It's not been with us very long, of course, has it? What, now maybe a couple of months into betting TV?
Maybe
the
a few
new
more.
Format?
Yeah, maybe a few more. And it takes another big leap forward this weekend as well. We've got live coverage of all of the action at the Breeders' Cup, all the way through until the final race online, free to air as well.
And they've got in William Hill's very own version of Dick and Dom for Saturday night.
Yourself and Stephen Ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, should be good. Do tune into that. wh.cm/TV.
It's a lot worse than that anyway.
Yeah. it's well worth a watch. And you can get it on the William Hill app as well. If you go on the William Hill app and press the three little lines in the top left-hand corner, there's a little toggle switch.
Yeah.
Toggle betting TV on.
Mm.
And there you go, you could be in the pub on Saturday night.
So you can watch the betting TV, and then to watch the live racing, you have to have a bet, don't you?
Yes.
But it's not, only a pound.
But not for the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, really? We're going to show it?
We're going to show it for free.
Out of the goodness of our hearts.
Yes. So you could be in the boozer on Saturday night, or whatever you're doing, and you could get your app out and you can watch all of the Breeders' Cup action.
Because, hey, what else would you rather be doing on a Saturday night than having a pint watching me and Paoli?
That is my perfect Saturday night.
It is.
Before we move on, a more serious note, I do want to just mention Freddie Tyliki, who is awake and chatty in intensive care, which is a positive sign. Hopefully, he continues to be positive, and we just wish him well here at William Hill Racing Radio. Hopefully, he'll make a full and speedy recovery. Jim Crowley got away with just breaking his nose, which I don't think he'll mind too much. And Ted Durkin has broken his ankle. So a real nasty incident, but hopefully they're all on the mend. So we do send our best wishes.
It was awful, wasn't it? But it just could have been so much worse. And that, you know, I think there was real genuine fear amongst the racing community last night that it might be so much worse with both Jim Crowley and Freddie Tyliki being in hospital. Just such a scary incident. And whilst both are going to need time on the sidelines, if they make full recoveries, then that's all that matters. And it's never a good time. You never want to get an injury. But I'm glad that both of them have been able to see out the season, and both have enjoyed stellar seasons. Jim Crowley, of course, is champion jockey, but Freddie Tyliki's enjoyed huge Group 1 success on ARC weekend this year, winning the Prix de l'Opera on speedy boarding. He's knocked in loads of winners. He's done really, really well. So I'm glad it didn't happen in the middle of the season and that either man was denied the successes that they enjoyed.
Yes, and hopefully I'll be well to make a full recovery and I'll be thinking the same thing. At least it happened when it did, rather than anything else.
True.
Bit of other things to talk about as well. The Melbourne Cup, the richest handicap race in the world, the race that stops a nation, all those kind of things. 4 o'clock in the morning, so I was in bed, but it was a cracking finish. I have watched it back since. Almandin just getting the better of Heartbreak City. Those two in a real protracted battle down the home straight. Really great to see with Hartnell back in third place there. And a second success in the race for Kerry McAvoy. 16 years between the two wins in the race as well. It seemed like quite a nice result.
Yeah, it did. Wouldn't it have been great if Heartbreak City were to have held on? It looked as if when Joe Moreira made his challenge up the straight, that his run might be a winning one. But all the while, Almandin was tracking him on the outside. And you couldn't say he was going better than him, but Kieran McAvoy followed Joe Moreira's every move. And two great performances from Almondin and Heartbreak City, because they pull well clear of the rest of the field, 4.5 lengths clear of the rest. And, and well done to Connections of Almondin. Kieran McAvoy, as you say, one of the best jockeys in the world.
Yep.
But it would have just been so nice for us this on this side of the up at the Northern Hemisphere, to have seen Heartbreak City win, you know, and to have seen a horse that's won an Ebor. You know, he's a horse that we can all sort of associate ourselves with because we've seen him.
Yeah.
A lot of horses that have gone on to win Melbourne Cups or run well in Melbourne Cups in recent times that have maybe been former British or Irish racers, we haven't seen them for a season or two, so we've lost connection with them. But he's a recent Ebor winner, and he represents a stable that still had an excellent year.
Yeah, I'm not sure Melbourne could have handled the owners if Heartbreak City had won. I mean, the scenes just finishing second, they were delighted. So.
I know. The Australian man doing the interview, whose name I don't know, it was just brilliant. He was stunned, and I think at first he thought that the Connections of Heartbreak City thought they'd won.
Yeah.
Because live on air, he had to remind them that they'd only finished second, to which one of them replied they didn't care less. They didn't care if they finished last.
Yeah.
They were just there to enjoy it. And isn't it brilliant that you can be like that so soon after defeat? There's not everybody could handle it that like that. I certainly couldn't.
Yeah, coming that close as well.
Whilst in time you'd appreciate it and appreciate what you have. I hate getting beaten in any race, and you know, to travel to the other side of the world and get narrowly beaten in a Melbourne Cup will be heartbreaking, if you'll excuse the pun. They enjoyed it, and I'd say they could still be enjoying as we record this, Mark.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. They're just a great bit of fun, which is nice. Last thing I want to talk about before we get stuck into Wednesday's racing is the big race at Exeter on Tuesday afternoon, the Holden Gold Cup. Went the way of Sir Valentino, a good battle between him and Garde La Victoire. Came right down to the line, went to a photo finish, dodging bullets further back in third, but the front two well clear. A second win in the race in 3 years for the trainer, Tom George,
yes,
who won it with God's Own a couple of years ago.
True.
Real good jumps action to watch there. That gets the, you know, when you see two horses like that battling down the home straight and coming to the last together, it's a real spectacle.
Yeah, 2 7-year-olds who are two very good horses. We've known that about Garde La Victoire for quite some time. Sir Valentino's progress has been a little bit more understated, but he's turned into a damn good chaser, and that has to rate a career best mark. He's won off 147. His mark's going to go up into the 150s, but this was his first run off a little layoff. He hadn't been seen since July, and he looks to have improved for the layoff.
Yeah, certainly does. What do you make of Dodging Bullets? Obviously a previous champion chaser. Is he regressing a little bit now? Is his best days behind him, perhaps?
Well, undoubtedly. But the thing we have to remember with a horse like Dodging Bullets is that he's been to so many of the top races. He's danced the dances. And he's also a horse who was on the go as a flat racer at the age of 3. So whilst he's 8 and he's still a young horse, he's only a year old than the two that beat him, he's got a lot more miles on the gauge than the other two. And of course, you know, he's had a lot harder races. He is a former champion chase winner, and you can never take that away from him. I was saying on Racing Radio, he maybe is just going to find it a little bit hard now, because he's probably between a rock and a hard place, in that you question whether he's up to winning a Grade 1 chase again, and he's probably too highly rated for these handicaps, Mark.
Yes, I agree. Anything else on your mind, Sean? Final word to yourself before we move on to Wednesday's action?
Nothing in particular, only that you have the feeling now that the jumps proper is upon us, don't you? And we are in national hunt mode. We're coming to the end of the turf season, November handicap this weekend, and of course after that it is all over regarding the turf. But the flat never really stops, does it? The racing industry never really stops, because the jumps, the summer jumps has been transformed, and there's a good calendar for those type of horses. And we're seeing now a clear calendar for the better all-weather horses. The all-weather championships have started with a bit of listed action last week. So, it's an exciting time of year, but the jumps is really taking over now.
Yeah, jumping is the name of the game for me at the moment. We've got two races to look at Chepstow. We've got racing on the flat at Nottingham, a good handicap actually coming up there, and a listed race at Kempton. So something for everybody this Wednesday. We'll get Sean's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Wednesday's action then. The 155 at Nottingham is where we start. A Class 2 handicap over 5 furlongs, 3-year-olds and older in the lineup here. We've got 8 of them to go to post. Sean, and some nice handicappers in here. What do you make of the race?
Well, it's a good race for the time of year. We were saying that the flat's really winding down, but this is well up to scratch, a 0-110, and it's fantastic to see 5 horses rated north of 100 running in the race.
Yeah.
Mobster heads the weights. He's only had 4 runs this season, probably a lighter campaign than Connections had hoped he would have, because he was very good at the start of the year, winning the Camage Trophy, beating none other than Suédois, who's been placed in Group 1 company subsequently. He won a Group 2 up the Curragh in May, but was then off until Ascot last month, when he ran a fair race to finish 6th of 9 behind Shala. He's the class act in the race, but it'll take quite a performance to carry top weight against some useful sprinters.
Mm. So you're taking him on?
I'll take him on. What I'd take him on with, well, I think Double Up is a horse who is well up to winning a race of this nature. He's won here at Nottingham in the past, but he's won over 6 furlongs at the track. In more recent times, his best form has come over 5 furlongs. He looks all about speed. He was placed at Beverley 2 starts back in a conditions race behind Caspian Prince. He was 4th in the Portland at Doncaster on his run before that. So he's been very, very consistent in the main. Deserves to land a nice handicap and would appear to have strong claims here. The other one that interests me is Humidor, who has been placed in several good handicaps. He was second, when Double Up was 4th in the Portland handicap. He was a little bit below par at last time out at Doncaster. Could be feeling the effects of a long season, but is up to winning off 97. So I'd throw him into the mix, but I do think Double Up is the most likely winner.
Double Up then, the selection for Sean in the 155. At Nottingham to Chepstow next for their 215. This is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. So over 2 miles, we've got a field of 8 to go to post for this one. And we might as well start with the man of the moment, Tom George, trained the winner of the Holden Gold Cup on Tuesday. He's got Valser de Granville in here, who looks to have a pretty strong claims.
Yeah, he does. Adrian Heskin got on this horse for the first time, last time out at Kempton, and enjoyed a good win on him over Prince Curran by 7 lengths. That was off a mark of 114. He's up to 122, but he looks a progressive horse, and he looks like he's still up to operating off this kind of mark. So I think he will be the likely favourite, and deservedly so, Mark.
Where are the dangers in there?
I think sartorial elegance has to be respected for Colin Tizard and Tom O'Brien. This horse was still improving towards the back end of last season. Hasn't been seen since April, but was improving, and is still quite lightly raced. Has only had the 3 starts in handicaps, so I would expect more from sartorial elegance. It's interesting, Connections haven't wasted much time with the smaller obstacles for sartorial elegance. They've sent him straight chasing, presumably feeling that this mark of 116 could be very workable, and I would have most respect for him in opposition to Valser de Granville.
Okay, but do you side with?
I'm going to go with the Tom George horse, just having the fitness edge.
Moving on to the 320 at Chepstow next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle, just short of 3 miles the trip for this one. We've got 10 to go to post here, Sean. Plenty of in-form runners in there as well. It's a warm heat.
Yeah, we should probably touch on Tom George's horse in this race as well. Some Are Lucky, who was last seen finishing 2nd behind Bucking the Trend. So that was only his 2nd start in a handicap. He'd been placed at Ayr at the Scottish National meeting the time before that. So I think he's still up to shaping off this mark of 125. He's very, very lightly raced still, Some Are Lucky, and he'd be the likely favourite and could have more to offer. In opposition to him, well, Trucker's Glory was a winner last time out. This horse, again, is also lightly raced, having only had the 3 starts under rules, joined the Rebecca Curtis team from the Irish point-to-point field. Won a handicap at Foss last time off 108. He's up to 116, but given the way that the horses from the Rebecca Curtis yard are running, you would expect Trucker's Glory to go close again. It's interesting that they fit in with cheek pieces for the first time. Maybe just feeling that there was a little bit left under the bonnet last time out.
And the final race we look at then is the 7:55 at Kempton. We finish off with the Floodlit Stakes, which is a listed race over 1.5 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 8 of them to take their place in the lineup here as well. We'll start with Western Hymn, if we may, Sean. I make this the first time he's ever dropped down to listed company.
You are correct, Mark. First time since, he won a maiden and then a conditions race, and ever since has contested group races. But it's also the first season which he's yet to win a race. Mm. You can see why connections are dropping him in class. He's been a little bit disappointing of late, I suppose. But as you say, he's sort of been trying to compete at the top table for a long time now, yeah. And he's just come up a little bit short. This will be much easier than anything he's faced in recent times.
Will it see him bounce back? I suppose the effort at Newbury last time was a little bit more encouraging than some of his previous ones.
Yeah, it was. He ran okay last time out. And I don't think we have to worry about him switching back onto the all-weather, because when he won his maiden, the first attempt as a two-year-old, that was here at Kempton, so he does have a bit of form at the track. I think it will see him back in the winner's enclosure, but connections are maybe a little bit not worried about him, but feel he might have become a touch jaded because they've put the visor on him for the first time,
yeah.
Presumably in the hope that I'll just see him with a little bit more of his old spark.
What are the dangers in there then if something's going to trump him?
Well, Restore is a very lightly raced horse, so I think still has more to offer for William Muir. Ran a good race when last seen at Newmarket earlier in the year. I'm not sure why he's been off ever since, but he was fourth by an Exospheric. His third the time before in a Group 3 around Chelmsford, but behind Dartmouth, reads particularly well. And maybe connections have kept him with a view to the all-weather championship, seeing how good his form is, yeah, on the all-weather. And it could be that was a conscious thing by William Muir to miss the turf season and keep him for the all-weather, where, of course, we know there's a lot of money on offer.
Mm. Yeah, we'll probably find out more on Wednesday evening. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary then, Sean, if you just wouldn't mind confirming your selections then in the four races on Wednesday.
Yeah, in the 155 at Nottingham, I'm going to go with Double Up. We then go to Chepstow for a bit of jumping, a novices handicap chase. I think Valser de Granval will take a bit of beating, but respect Sartorial Elegance. And then at Chepstow, again, we've got a handicap hurdle here. Summer Lucky represents the Tom George team again. I'll side with him. As I say, though, it's interesting that the Trucker's Glory wears cheap pieces for the first time. And then the evening card at Kempton, I think the dropping class should see Weston him get his head back in front for the first time this season. But Restorers maybe a horse to keep an eye on with a view to going forward into the all-weather season proper.
Superb. Good work, Sean. Pleasure seeing you again. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thanks very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 p.m. Do make a note of the early start time. It's getting earlier all the time. Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott, the team in the studio. It's Chepstow and Musselburgh over the obstacles and Nottingham on the turf during the afternoon. And we've got all-weather action on the poly track at Kempton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.